In the theater, of course, we all wear multiple hats because there's never enough money to pay for all the people you need to pay. And one of the hats that I love most wearing is casting. What different actors bring to the same roles is fascinating to me. So that's why I'm really excited to talk to an actual and now Emmy-winning casting director, Kathy Sandrich. Kathy, how did you go from being in the chorus of College Musicals to an Emmy-winning casting director?
It's a long story.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, number 996, Casting the Pit. HBO's hospital show The Pit, which won last year's Emmy for Outstanding Drama, returns for its second season this Thursday night, January 8th. And its Emmy-winning casting director, Kathy Sandrich, joins me to talk about how she and her team put this massive ensemble together. Kathy and I did shows at the University of California at Berkeley together a million years ago, and she began our conversation with the realization that put her on her current path.
I had a big epiphany when I was doing a little bit on a television show, and I decided, you know, I wasn't going to be a brilliant actress, but I might actually be a pretty good casting director. And so I never looked back. So I think, and the fact that I had the objectivity, basically on the set quickly, the crew was like, oh my God, you were amazing. You were amazing. And I'm like, ooh, I was amazing. I took one look and I was like, I'm out. And so I think that the ability to look at myself that way. And by the way, now years later, no actor thinks that every actor hates looking themselves, but I was still right about myself personally.
Right.
And I just love what I do. I still, after all these years, it's a joy. It's exciting. I learn about new worlds, new directors' visions. I mean, it's a great, I'm very lucky. It's a great job.
It is a great job. And you see so many, I mean, for all the, like right now you're casting season two of The Pit, and there are dozens, maybe hundreds of roles. And for each of those roles, you see dozens, maybe hundreds of actors. How, I'm amazed you remembered our appointment to do this Zoom call today, because you have so many actors in your head all the time. How do you keep that straight? How do you wrangle these people?
Well, here's the thing. Lists. I have a lot of lists. A lot of our videos are saved. I go back on projects. You know, there's cheat ways. We've got a lot of ways to do it now. Mm-hmm. But what I love about The Pit, so back to, we cast over 300 people last year.
Wow.
And you're right. And we really dig. And I think what's wonderful, I used to years ago wonder, like, with all these interns, why can't I get all the envelopes opened? And now with Breakdown Express, I was like, what is wrong with us? We can't get the envelopes open. I want to see everybody. Breakdown Express is the service that you could actually see every face. Like, yeah. But what you find out is for my one line, you know, scale plus 10 part, there's like up to, we have sometimes up to 6,000 submissions for one part. It's nuts. It's totally nuts. But on a show like this, I really wanted to discover, you know, provide opportunities for newer people. And yeah. Someone once said, oh, I can tell a blah, blah, blah show, meaning I can tell the casting director who did that because all the people are the same. And I was like, if that ever happens to me, I'm out. I'm quitting.
Yeah.
I believe that on some level, you start over every time. If you're how I perceive it to be a good, because you're creating a different world. You're creating, and obviously it's not that. There's people you love, there's people you want, you go, they'd be perfect here. I've told a lot of actors when they used to come in rooms. I told you, like, remember, like, five projects ago, I was like, I love you, but, you know, too tall, too short, doesn't go with the family, looks too much like the lead. There's a million things that actors can't control. But the bottom line is, a great audition is never wasted because we remember. And you so, yes, you were not my doctor, you know, in episode 4, but you're my patient in episode 10. You know, and
almost every TV job that I had when I was living out in L.A., I must have auditioned for ER, West Wing, NYPD Blue, Gilmore Girls multiple times, multiple episodes until they were able to find the right part that fit for me, for their needs.
That is exactly right. And that good is good, but good can, in a weird way, be not right for nothing that anybody can do, because whatever it is we're looking for is very specific.
Well, and you said you wanted to discover, in air quotes, new talent, but yet one of the joys of the pit is that you're bringing in character actors who maybe we are familiar with in previous roles, but haven't got the opportunities, like Sean Hatozzi, who won the Emmy, was like, he absolutely nailed that part in a way that I don't think I would have expected based on previous performances. And is that something that you saw? Did you go, you know who might be good for this is Sean? Or did you go, well, what the hell, let's see him, and he blew your mind in the room?
I cannot take credit for Sean, as much as I love him. And believe it or not, this was, after all that gorgeous work, his first Emmy. He and John Wells have worked together since he was actually did an episode of ER, as I believe it was a patient. So that was all John. Even Sean said at the time, I don't really know that I'm right for this. Could I play a doctor? And then he said he started watching these videos and he saw these doctors that were like real blue collar guys. And he goes, oh, I can do this. And Sean is brilliant. And I will say, the one we did have a lot to do with is Catherine Lanasa.
That was the other one.
I'm so proud of it because she has never done anything like this. And she's always been really talented, but not like the, not, and so that was the opportunity of someone who is really amazing.
Yeah.
That brought such a fascinating fullness to the character and like had a sobbing, you know, in her callback.
Yeah.
It's a combo of things, of, you know, really seasoned, well, you know, really good actors. You know, it depends what your parts are, you know. This one was a lot of young people. So I found kids out of training programs and we found, you know, and again, some of these people had definitely worked, but like, you know, Patrick Ball had done one guest shot on Law and Order, and it wasn't even a very large one, at least from the tape I watched.
Right.
But he'd come out of Yale, you know, he was really well trained. Then he kicked around New York for quite a while until this perfect part came along, and there you go.
Yes, and you talk about the parts on the page. Has it ever happened where you think the part on the page is this, and then an actor comes in and completely transforms everybody's idea of what the part is?
Absolutely. And I have often said, I know this isn't what you're looking for, but I thought it was so interesting, and it made me think about different things, so I want you to look. Because you can't not hear what they are looking for, but everyone is open. This is a really creative process, and you different interpretations. I was just on a Zoom when an actor said, well, what if it was, and it wasn't anything that we thought was right, but it was an interesting concept. It was really interesting to watch. And because there are, in any given moment, there are so many interpretations and sometimes things become richer when they're not what you thought you were looking for.
Right. It's because if it's surprising to you, it'll be surprising to an audience.
Correct. And it gives a different, you know, color in. And I always joke that, like, I wouldn't have a career if I could just right now tell you the pitch should have been, you know, these 10 people, you know, out of my head. but you need a process. You do need to see it. You do need to figure out how the ensemble goes together. You can have really good people, but they don't work as a unit. And, you know, because the team effort on this is so important, that's as vital as anything, that they all will work in tandem and you'll feel like they are cohesive and, you know.
You're so right, because as all of this knowledge and wisdom and experience you've gained over the years, every project is new and every project is different, no matter what it is. So you kind of have to use your skills, but reinvent yourself a little bit every time, right?
Yep. Yep. Years ago, I remember my lay partner, Amanda, who I miss dearly.
Oh, yes.
We had done a bunch of what we called big boy movies. And someone came to us with the movie and they were like, but can they be funny? And I was like, we are really funny. Austin, you know me, I'm funny. Yeah. And so I was like, how can you? Anyway, so yes. So we need to, you know, I don't want to be pegged. Just like actors don't want to be pegged, I don't want to be pegged.
Right. Right. And you want to be able to show all the colors, all the things that you can do.
Right. Yeah. And it's fun. It's really, I have never done a medical show. So do you know how fun this is for me? As hard as this show is, I was already learning things. I was already excited. When we went, you know, we had to meet to get the job because we audition sometimes, like you guys audition.
What?
I was like, oh yes. I mean, we have by now, obviously I have a lot of repeat business, but no, I mean, I had never worked with John Scott and Noah before. And so we had to, you know, chat about it. And I was like so excited because I was learning things already in the first episode. I looked things up. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. And that's good for you. You know,
It is good for you. I've had, all the doctors I've played, I've had to look up quite a few things.
Well, you know, I love these guys more than life itself. And they, we send out a glossary every time, every episode for the actors, so they know how to, they don't have to look them up. But it was early days when I came on, so they did not send me a glossary.
Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Walsh of the Upright Citizens Brigade, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the first half of 2026, we'll be doing three performances of all the great books abridged in Virginia and Michigan, and we'll be bringing back the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged to more than 30 cities in the UK. And, even better, on Monday night, February 2nd, 2026, just a month away, we will have a special live recording of the RSE podcast on stage at Chicago's famed Annoyance Theater, where I'll be talking to the Annoyance's founder and artistic director, Mick Napier, and his executive director, Jennifer Eslin. The show will start at 7 p.m., and I'll have more details about it in the coming weeks. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Hollywood casting director Kathy Sandrich. My single scene on ER was with Noah Wyle, and we were with and I was playing a homophobic doctor trying to cure a gay teen, you know. Ooh. Right. Yeah. In my wheelhouse, my niche. And they're setting up the lighting and setting up the cameras and so Noah and I get nose to nose and they say, hold while they tape our feet. We're standing there nose to nose and I'm in character. And I said, you're taller than I thought. And he went, I get that a lot.
Really, so much of the show's success is a credit to him. I mean, obviously he's producing, he's really involved, he's writing, he'll be directing. Yeah. But what he does with all the actors, I mean, he just like that first scene when Dr. Robbie is welcoming in all the new interns. That's exactly what he does with every cast, with all the guest cast. It comes from the top. But and John could not be kinder, more incredible, and deeply talented. It's a rare combination of kindness and brilliance, and it's good.
Well, and you're getting to work with our mutual classmate, production designer Nina Ruscio, who was saying the same thing, which is there are so many moving parts, not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera. It's everybody in service to this story and this world in which these stories are told. And that's not always the case, where every department is working on the same show. So not only just the glossary of terms that you talked about, I'm wondering whether there's a glossary of tone, or do you know what I'm asking? You know, where there's some document where we all agree, no, this is the show we're doing.
I think what was interesting, and we all talked about it, no one knew if the show was going to work.
Right.
It was an experiment. And, you know, it was a whole learning curve for us and for us to work together. And it, you know, it took a bit to figure it out, but you, when you've done it long enough, you figure it out, even if it takes a little longer, because this is sort of a new way of doing things.
Sure.
And so, I think, no, there wasn't, but you know what it is? John knows how to hire the right people.
Yeah.
He just does. And when you have John, Scott, and Noah all, you know, I mean, everyone at John's company, we had this joke because we actually did live callbacks, which was a blessing for all the series regulars because of the 360 nature of the show and how fast it moves. You need people that can, you know, do it on their feet. And in, one of our favorite moments was that for all the medics, part of the callback was they had to push a rolling chair down a hall and do the lines at the same time because these guys have done it and they have seen those people that can do it standing still can't yeah. always do it running, pushing a gurney. And so they, yeah, I don't know. It's, but they were, but everyone there was so incredibly kind and talented. And that just, for whatever reasons, that's everywhere on the show.
And an actor has to trust that too. When he or she or they have been hired, they've been hired to do the thing that they do.
Yes.
You can't, it's so easy to overthink once you've got the job. You got the job for a reason. Now go in and do the job.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah. the corollary is, you calm down once you've gotten the job too. I've seen right. the other thing. I've seen really good actors whose nerves are almost getting the best of them. But then I know that when they get the job, it'll all be okay.
Having pushed a gurney while saying lines on Alias, I feel their pain.
You understand, right?
I do.
It's like and I get it. It's you know, but it would not have been something I would have thought to do.
Sure.
And I was
sure.
like, this is genius, really funny and fun, but it's also like so smart.
Yeah, that's so great.
I would have never thought of it. So I'm learning all the time.
Do you have any pro tips for actors? I was going to say young actors, but really actors of any age. Pro tips on things to do or things not to do in terms of getting noticed on Backstage Breakdown Express or whatever it is, or, you know, like any pro tips like that?
No, but just, you know, make a strong choice and make a truthful choice, truthful to you, because I do believe a lot of acting is subtext and we can see all that. So you never miss truth, and just know those opening beats are crucial.
Yeah.
You got to get it right from the top.
Otherwise, you stop watching. Yes.
You got to get it right from the top and you make us want to, you know, see it through and see where you go and what you do.
And I think it's what important. I want to underline what you said. Truthful to you,
right.
How you play the role, not how you think somebody else would play the role or how you think they want you to play the role.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to just tell your truth. And what I will say that was fascinating is with a lot of the series regulars, they all had a thing that none of us knew that made them perfect for these parts. And we knew we saw something. I saw something. I didn't know what it was, but it resonated in a different way. Yeah. So figure out what that thing of yours is that relates to the character you're doing, because we see it. We may not know what it is, but it's like, yeah, that's it. That's different. That's deeper. That's something else. So that's it.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. You can catch up on the first Emmy-winning season of The Pitt on HBO now and start watching season 2 when it begins this Thursday night. Then send us your medical trauma via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to heavily medicated Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Heather Lee Gracer. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Veep's Matt Walsh, co-founder of the Upright Citizens Brigade and also an alumnus of Chicago's Annoyance Theater. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 996, 2988 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I love that you talk about subtext. As a former English major at the University of California, Berkeley, you are bringing it, my love.
Thank you, go Bears! I do still have so many warm feelings for that school. I'm still rah-rah that school. I love that school.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.